This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, okay. I think it's kind of officially summer. I don't know whether it's still spring. I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? It's been really nice outside. And a lot of people know that I bought a Jeep. Yes, I have become one of those geeky guys that has bought a Jeep. I know. But you know what? I finally got to the point where I was like, I had a Raptor, a Ford Raptor 2012 with the 6.2 liter V8 monster. Just a fantastic truck. Wonderful. Loved it. Didn't love the 10 miles to the gallon, especially at $4 a gallon where I live. And I've seen gas approaching $5 a gallon in LA. So when you're getting 10 miles to the gallon driving the way I do, which I think the best I was getting was 10 miles to the gallon. I might even have been getting like 8 or 9 or 5, because when you smash down the gas pedal, you know, that gas goes out the tailpipe. Anyway, you got to pay for those ponies. But yes, I decided I wanted to get something that got, you know, more like 20 miles to the gallon. So I bought this Jeep Gladiator, a 2021. But George Kennedy III, who is on the line right now, is sitting in a Jeep Wrangler, which I have the Wrangler Gladiator, which basically it's a truck, right? What I got is the truck version of what you're driving. But you're driving a special one, a Rubicon 392, a big V8. And there's nobody I want to hear more from than you, George Kennedy. Car Tinder, Car Gurus, and this is where the story will be in Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report. He's a freelance automotive journalist, but he's a Jeeper. He's a Jeep guy himself. He owns an older, what is that? I'm trying to think what it is.
99 Cherokee.
Yes.
Listed and all that stuff, but that's getting close to be put out to pasture. So the fact that I'm sitting in one of these is it's a funny circle of life.
All right. So explain to the world, you got some splaining to do, Lucy, because you're driving, from what I understand, about an $80,000 Jeep Wrangler. Am I right? Am I close?
Well, what did you just say? You got to pay for those ponies?
Yeah. All right. Right. But here's the funny thing, right? So this is called the Jeep Wrangler Rubicon 392. So it's got a big V8 in it. But
yeah,
there was a
4-liter Hemi.
Right. There was a time before this came out that guys that had to have those ponies were paying $150,000 and more to put a V8 in a Wrangler. So for Jeep to do this is brilliant. And actually to be able to sell it to the general public for, I think, you know, under 80 grand or right around 80 grand, which is about like what 70 and 80 is 150. So about $70,000 cheaper than what the aftermarket can do it for. All I can say is I'm waiting to hear what you think about it, George Kennedy. So good.
I mean, when you put it like that, it's a bargain, and it's backed by a factory warranty.
Exactly, exactly.
You know that I'm a Jeep guy.
Yep, and me too now. Right?
We've all seen the trend of everything getting, either a 6.4 liter or the Hellcat engine, sort of as the Jeep, Dodge, Ram vehicle portfolio has grown. And it almost seemed like a matter of time before this came, and it has absolutely delivered on the weight. It is such an amazing, cool feeling to be in a Wrangler Rubicon, hit the start button, and then hear a 470 horsepower V8, burble out the back, and this absolutely sounds fantastic. It's one of those things where, you drive in your Gladiator, you'll notice like the V6 does a great job. The diesel does a great job. These engines do a great job. But this answers that sort of need for speed that some buyers have. And
right.
It's quick. I think 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds.
Whew.
It's unbelievable. It is like, and I don't want to be accused of hyperbole here. it is the perfect modern Jeep.
All right, well, hold on. So what's funny about this whole thing to me is that they put it in a Rubicon, and maybe that's because they don't make the version of Jeep that I bought, which is, of course, now mine's a Gladiator, which is a truck, longer wheelbase. But I got one that was desert rated, that could jump and do things that the Rubicon maybe wouldn't. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. The Jeep Wrangler Rubicon 392 V8 Hemi. And George Kennedy III is driving it. We'll be right back and talk more Jeeps. Stay with us. Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search. Yeah! Well, George Kennedy's joining us, and our show is brought to you in part by Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. And from what I've heard, they now offer some fancy Brembo brakes for the new Mustang Mach-E, the electric car. Yeah, all the aftermarket has to continue to evolve with the marketplace. Now, the marketplace, you know, the aftermarket, I remember being at Barrett Jackson and seeing these Wranglers with these fantastic big V8s in them. And they were like $150,000, $160,000, $170,000, right? And, you know, Jeep looks at that and they're like, dude, we can do that for like way less. So they built this. What is the actual price of this 392, the Rubicon Wrangler 392?
Yeah, so the base price is $73,500. And, you know, with options, this is $78,500. So, yeah, not a ton in the way of options. It does have the one-touch sky slider roof, the retractable canvas roof.
Oh.
And that's a pretty cool feature. Yeah. I know Jeep purists will be like, well, no, I want my own soft top. I want to be able to lift off my top. But there's a market for older Jeep owners that might not be able to readily take off the top or reach up to flip it back. But this is a great solution for.
You know what's funny is you're saying that. The other day, I took, mine has the front panels that come off. So, again, yep. I have a Gladiator. And they, I mean, literally take 1 minute each to take off. 1 minute. But then you got to put them in this bag because they're kind of, you know, you don't want to chip the paint and all that stuff. And you put them in this bag. And then you got this gigantic bag. And it's like, all right, well, I put it in the back of the bed. But then somebody could steal them, put them in the back seat. Then I got no room back there. So put them in the garage. And then it starts raining. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's raining. And I don't have any top. So I was driving in the rain. This guy looks at me and I just shook my head. Yep, I'm the idiot that takes the top off and leaves it at home. That's what I like about that folding, sliding back thing that you just described there.
And yeah, you know, it's a $2,000 option, but it's,
yeah,
it's really
well worth it. Well,
yeah,
worth it.
Based on what you just laid out, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I didn't care. I mean, I'm like wearing shorts. It was beautiful and sunny, and then some clouds came in, and it just did a spring downpour. I called it summer, but it feels like summer because it's like 90 degrees. I don't know what it is in Boston right now. What, you're in the boatyard, right? What's it? What is the weather?
Yeah, no, like? I'm washing, get my 45-year-old sailboat ready for the season.
Awesome.
But like last weekend when we had this, it was a little more murky. We actually drove down to this sort of sand dune area in near Westerly, southern shore of Rhode Island, and we were doing some sand dune stuff. This has the beadlock look wheels. So, you know, we aired down to about 15 PSI, but if you've got like, you know, actual beadlockers, you can go well below that.
Right.
But I think what's important is that the big V8, you know, when you're romping around in sand or you're climbing up a steep incline, you know, all this off-road gear, a lot of horsepower can get you out of trouble too.
Yeah, right. So by the way, what he just described there, beadlock, because when you get in sand, the idea is you've got to let the air out of the tires. And you got to remember, not all the way out, but you got to remember that, because if you got to get back on the road, you got to have some way of pumping them back up. But if you're going to drive on the sand, you want to have real low air pressure. And if you got a lot of horsepower and you don't have a bead lock, there's like a rim that goes on that actually bolts to the rim that actually holds the tire. It actually pinches the tire to the rim so that your rim doesn't spin on the tire, which with How many horsepower did you say that thing is in the 392?
470 and torque 470 as well. Yeah.
Right. Which is a ton. And so if you let it down to like, you know, 7 or 8 pounds or 10 pounds of air pressure, you could easily spin the wheel and the tire. But let me tell you something. For those who have never gone on the dunes and done this, this is stuff that dreams are made of. It's just so much fun, right? I love it.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, we went down there. We were the only people out there. The only other vehicle we saw all morning was another older Wrangler Unlimited. And, you know, we could bop around pretty much point and go. You know, there was a great network of trails. And, you know, not going below 15 PSI, you know, we had to go find the nearest gas station with air. You can still drive safely on the highway after that. You go way down, you know, you're a little more kind of on marbles. Right. But at 15, you know, with these BF Goodrich tires, it was fine going like 50 miles an hour on the highway to get to the gas station.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so in like 15 seconds before we go to break, and then we'll come back talk some more. How was it to drive with 470 horsepower in a Jeep Wrangler?
The coolest thing was going by, like, if it was a Jeep owner parked and seeing, you know, a red Wrangler Unlimited, you know, go by and then hear the sound of a Hemi V8 more than one occasion. The owner would sort of whip their head around, like, wait a minute.
By the way, my son calls that snapping necks. You were out there snapping necks. Like, what that? What? George Kennedy talking to us, car tender, car gurus, Boston Globe and U.S. News Report. He writes for them all. This particular story, you'll be able to find at Car Gurus. This is The Drive. We'll be right back with more of George and a 392 Jeep Wrangler.
I cannot believe my eyes when I saw through the thoughts of a trusted friend who needs to humor me and tell me lies.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And thanks to Dodge for sponsoring our show. And coming up next, George is going to talk about the Dodge Charger Hellcat wide body red eye. Talk about a guy who's had back-to-back fantastic machines. So, but right now he's actually sitting in the boatyard. He's been painting the bottom of his sailboat, and he's actually sitting in the vehicle, a Jeep Wrangler Rubicon 392. Now, let me ask you something, George. My Gladiator Mojave, I was talking about before. They don't make a Mojave Wrangler, which is a desert rated. Trail rated is what you have. Trail rated. I'm going to say trail destruction after you've been out there with that thing. But.
Well, I mean, look, follow the tea leaves as what, you know, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram have been doing. And I got to imagine it's a matter of time before they throw a 392 into a Gladiator, be that Rubicon or Mojave.
Right.
The Mojave's got that built-up power dome hood the same way that this, you know, one of the only visual differentiators on this vehicle is the 392 badging on the hood, but also sort of the power dome hood. It does one of two things. It channels water over and around the engine in case you start fording into like a riverbed at 50 miles an hour, or it channels fresh air around the engine for cooling. Mm. One of the only visual indicators of what you got going on there. The Mojave has a similar hood. So it's, you know, who's to say what the engineering is beneath for to set it up for that V8. But I mean, they've thrown this engine in just about everything they offer. So I got to imagine it's a matter of time before we see the 392 in some form of Gladiator.
Let me tell you. So coming up next, I'm going to be talking to my buddy, David Borla. And when I got my vehicle, I was like, you know what? V6, 20 miles to the gallon. That's all that I'm really concerned with. And do I get 20 right now because I'm driving like a maniac? Not quite 20, but I'll get there. I'll be more mellow as time goes on. But I put a Borla exhaust system, which got me a little more horsepower, but it got me a whole lot more joy because the sound of my vehicle now, it went from being a pussycat and quiet and gentle to it's like, you know, I got, like I was saying, I got pulled over. Did I tell you I got pulled over? I got pulled over because I was showing off.
No,
yeah, the guy heard it. And he pulled me over because I was the only thing when he's looking for this thing that's going, bah, nah, nah, nah. You know, it's like he went looking and he found it. The only thing on this stretch of road was me. So he turns his lights on. He pulls me over. He goes, how fast were you going? I said, I wasn't going fast. I was just showing off my new exhaust. Anyway, so we're going to have Borla on. But I picked up a little horsepower. But I'll tell you what, this V6, it doesn't have what you're dealing with, 470 horsepower. I got 285, probably 295 or 300 now with this new exhaust. But a supercharger could make all the difference in the world. And I'm going to save, because this was like $54,000. If I spend $5,000 or $6,000 on a supercharger, now I'm only, we're talking, you know, $59,000. I'm still saving from the almost 80 grand. That's a lot of money. That's $20,000. And I'm going to get better gas. What is the fuel economy of this thing, by the way, that you're driving?
So it does 13 cities, 17 highway, and 14 combined. I will say your results may vary because just like you, I was trying to put a smile on my face via the accelerator, and it was getting closer to like 11 and change. It's funny you say that about the exhaust because this does have a dual mode exhaust, and the button is right there in the middle of the dash.
Oh.
It's, you know, it absolutely burbles and barks when you're revving it. But you press the button, if you see a cop coming up on Waze, press that button and it hums right down. Press it right before you get into the apartment complex so you don't piss off your neighbors at night.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of upsides to these baffles that quiet the muffler down.
Now, mine only has like a 15-gallon fuel tank, so I'm getting 20 miles to the gallon. You're getting 12 or 13. What's, yeah, did they enlarge
it? I think it's a 21-gallon fuel tank, so you know, I was driving a good amount, but I did find myself filling up a lot, or at least topping it off a good amount.
Right, right. Well, you know, I noticed, but imagine I was filling up with my Raptor, and I'd put $100, because your credit card stops at like $99,999, whatever, $100, three quarters of a tank, because it had a 35-gallon tank or something ridiculous, right?
Right,
and
right.
I'm telling you, I feel like I'm making the car payment on the savings of 10 to 20 miles to the gallon. You know what I mean? Let me ask you, what was the best thing about this driving this thing for the week?
I mean, probably the just every time a light turns green and you're going in a straight line and you just stomp on it, just that, you know, coming out. And it's the fact that that just didn't exist before in these modern Wranglers.
Right.
And it's just, you feel like you're driving the top of the mountain when it comes to Jeep.
Is it worth $78,500, do you think? I mean, do you feel that, you know, in what's out there in the world today, and knowing that guys were paying $150,000 for these things, are you thinking to yourself, you know what? For what it is, if you want to pay for them ponies, here it is, and it's a bargain. Is it that way?
Think about it this way. Think about, like, the Corvette, and you've got your, you know, your regular Corvette, and you got your Z06 and your ZR1. This is the supercar of Wranglers. So in that context, most of the time, the V6 is going to make a lot of people happy, but for those that want that extra power and can afford it, this is the supercar of the Wrangler lineup. And in my mind, an $80,000 supercar that can go off-road and climb over rocks and stuff like that sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
And you can put the windshield down, take the doors off and all the top and everything, whatever the heck you want. You make a whole completely different vehicle out of it. That's what I liked. And the reason why I bought the Gladiator Mojave is because I wanted to be able to go fast and jump and do things that a desert machine would do. Mojave, the desert. That's why I bought that one. This story is going to be available on Car Gurus from George Kennedy. Next, we're going to talk about the Dodge Charger Hellcat Wide Body Red Eye with George Kennedy. Stay with us.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show is brought to you in part by Dodge. And of course, you know, I'm sponsored by Dodge, but George is not. George Kennedy III, car tender, car gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. He writes for all of them and works with all of them. So George got a chance to have the Dodge Charger Hellcat wide body red eye, which is essentially kind of the Dodge Demon that I had, George, except it doesn't have some of the drag racing stuff on it. Like when you put it in drag mode, it would take the air conditioning and route it through the intercooler. And it doesn't have that kind of stuff because it's not really a, you know, kind of purpose, drag race purpose built vehicle. But it's got almost everything else. How many horsepower was it, by the way?
Yeah, this was 797, which is just absurd in an American sedan that's like 80 grand, right?
Exactly. Now, by the way, being that I own one of these, in essence, same thing, wide body, that's the Demon. I wasn't really ever able to ever use that extra 40 horsepower, or whatever it was, you know, or 35. Because I was always like, what was it, the 800 or 802, 808, whatever the heck it was. I never put it in drag mode except once, and then the car did a complete 360 when I let off the gas. Because that's how powerful it was, right? I thought that this Demon is going to take my soul. Yeah, exactly. So that's what happened. And I thought, all right. I learned my lesson the hard way. Nothing happened, thank God. But yeah, these cars are way more than people realize. I mean, when you're talking almost 800 horsepower out of this thing. But I'm just curious, just kind of a quick review on this, because this is basically a Dodge Charger Hellcat. Now, mine
was a four-door supercar,
right?
American four-door supercar. It came in like day glow orange with like the black hood, roof, and trunk package. So it was not blending in at all. Unlike the Wrangler 392, that you know you don't notice it until you hear the V8. This thing you could see and hear, you know, a mile out. I think just talking about that horsepower or how much there is. The big thing for me is the wide body, because I've driven the non-wide body Chargers and Challengers, and they corner fine, but the wide bodies absolutely changes it into a car that can corner really well, feels really planted,
right?
It's
very surprising,
meaty steering wheel. Yeah. And so for me, it's the power, but it's also the ability to corner with that as well.
Yeah, well, you said meaty steering wheel, meaty tires and wheels. That's why
these
it's
are Pirelli P0s, and I mean these are right. Pretty serious performance tires.
And that's why it's a wide body, though. You know, I mean, they want to put some big fat meats under there. And you're right. I was thinking, it's a Charger Hellcat. Mine was a Challenger. So the Charger is the four-door, but it's still, you know, it's got 797 horsepower, almost 800 horsepower. What a fantastic family machine. The kids' car seats go right in the back.
A wholesome vehicle for the whole family,
Wholesome is the word I was looking for. I love it. And how much money again? You're talking 80, 83? How much?
Yeah, this was in the 80 plus range. Once again, awesome, affordable performance in the context of other vehicles with even close to that much horsepower.
Yeah, well, so, and with mine, was a Demon, of course, but in a two-door Challenger. I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference with the four doors. I got 22 miles to the gallon one time on the freeway going to California. And I was driving like 75, 80 miles an hour with the flow of traffic. And I thought to myself, where in the world can you have 800 horsepower, get 22 miles to the gallon, have a car that is incredibly comfortable, that if you mash on the gas, you can go 0 to 160 miles an hour, you know, before you can get your vision clear, you know, because it's like rolls your eyeballs in your head. It's an amazing machine. Dodge, hats off to them. These older chassis, I mean, I think this Charger's a little newer, but the Challenger, that's an old chassis, and they just keep on adding to it, making it better and cooler and giving it some package. And it's unbelievable what they've done with the Challenger anyway, the Charger. And I think they've done just as good a job reinventing it by making it a wide body and souping up a four-door. I used to think that was insane. Not anymore, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love seeing what they're doing, you know, squeezing every bit of performance out of these platforms. yes, we want to move towards more efficient vehicles as an industry, but there's going to be a day when vehicles like this aren't around. So I love the commitment to vehicles like this still existing, that are new, that are powerful, and they're backed by a factory warranty. And I mean, it's just, they've got their niche and they're doing an awesome job with it.
Well, God bless them. I'm playing a song from Led Zeppelin here. It's called Dazed and Confused. Because with all the electric cars coming out, Dodge and Jeep, and this brand that has this fantastic motor, engine, I should say, because motor would be electric, in this Hemi, this crazy thing, and they're putting it in everything. God bless them for that. They're paying homage to what real car guys want. Horsepower and the sound of the engine. God bless them. All right, George Kennedy, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
George Kennedy III. The Jeep Wrangler Rubicon 392 story will be in Car Gurus, and we're not sure where he's going to put the Charger Hellcat wide body, but, you know, Car Tender, Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, George Kennedy. Look for him out there. We'll take a little break, come back with David Borla and talk about the sound, tuning your exhaust through Borla, who tunes it like a musical instrument. We'll be right back. Here I come.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6 inch touchscreen available on select models.
Well, this is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. I'm a car nut, certified car crazy by Mr. Car Crazy Barry McGuire himself. Many years ago, we were sitting around one day talking, and what do we call people that are just car crazy? He goes, car crazy. I'm like, that's it. You're right. We are. We're car crazy. Another guy who's car crazy is my longtime friend David Borla from Borla Exhaust. You can find them at borla.com, B-O-R-L-A.com. I remember 2006, I bought a GT500 Mustang, and I had it super snaked at Shelby, which means that you spend about, I don't know, $50,000, and they amp this thing up. But you know what? When I got it back, it still didn't really sound as good as it could. I called Borla. We put a Borla exhaust system on it. Oh, my God, it changed my life. Now, this happened again a few weeks ago. I bought a Jeep Gladiator Mojave. A Gladiator's a pickup truck. It's got a little puny V6, 285 horsepower. David Borla, my friend, sees me posting on, you know, Facebook. This is my new toy. He says, we've got an awesome exhaust for that. So I instant message him. I go, really? What should I do? He goes, go on our website and just pick it out. So I've already told David, I've told this story how I went on the website, and everybody's got to do it just to see what their car would sound like with a Borla exhaust. Because you guys actually, you kind of sell this by the sound. And so you put them on these vehicles and you have it all on your website. So I actually picked my exhaust through what it sounded like. May I just say to you, I love you. Is that okay?
Yeah. That's all right. I love you back, Alan.
But listen, I had the thing for, I don't know, what was it, a month maybe, right? I love the vehicle, the Jeep Gladiator. It's awesome. It's got just enough horsepower to be, you know, okay with me. It's like, because it's 8-speed automatic transmission. But when you push on the gas, it just kind of goes, you know, it's like no big deal. I don't hear anything. And I'm all right with that because I'm kind of getting old. I thought, you know, maybe I'm done with all this car guy stuff. But oh, no. When I got this exhaust system, by the way, which took an hour and a half to put on, it's a cat-back exhaust system. I got the Borla exhaust. The first time I took it for a ride, something grew inside of me, like the Grinch that stole Christmas, you know, when his heart grew like 10 times and he saved the little girl from going over the cliff. That was me. I turned back into a car guy because I remembered how much I love the music that comes from the exhaust system of a properly exhausted car, if I could say it that way. I don't even know how to say it. But you guys do. You actually tune your exhaust. Some of these things are patented that you do. I know you've been talking about this for a while with me because we talk at the trade shows. But this exhaust technology that you guys have is fantastic. The audience that's listening know I got pulled over by a cop because I was showing a friend of mine pulling a trailer, just how awesome my Jeep sounds now. And people are always giving me the thumbs up. But can we talk for a minute about how exhaust technology has changed in the last 20 years? Because you guys, out of many that have not been able to, rose to the occasion and kept it going to where the Borla exhausts of today, I just described what happened to me. It still does it for me. So thank you. Plus adds a little horsepower, a little, you know, a little hitch in your giddy up. It kind of makes it go a little better. At least it sounds better. But anyway, exhaust in the last 20 years since you and I have been buddies, how much has it changed?
It's changed a whole lot. I mean, look, cars themselves, trucks themselves have changed a whole lot, and exhaust has evolved, you know, to the same degree. I mean, for one thing, there's a lot less room to build the exhaust system these days. There's just, the tolerances are so much tighter.
Right.
So geometry, you know, just getting it to fit to begin with is difficult. And don't forget, you know, we're offering something out of a box that's going to fit on your Gladiator. We don't actually get to see your Gladiator.
Right.
So it's got to fit perfectly on all of them, even if there's some variation from the factory, right? Ours has to fit all of them. So just the geometry alone is difficult enough, and that doesn't even get into the sound side of it, which is, you know, become probably the most important side of it, and of course power as well, and durability is a big deal with Jeep owners. So, you know, we have to take all of those things into account. And then really with the Gladiator, it was interesting being a new vehicle. You know, it was some question as to what it should sound like, who's going to buy it, and right, how somebody going to use it. You know, so we offer more than one sound to sort of fit kind of how you're going to use the vehicle. But I think one big difference, you know, in sound, the biggest difference over the last 20 years is that we've become, all of us have become a lot more sensitive to objectionable frequencies and drone.
Right.
You know, back in the day, you know, my dad's generation, you know, they would kind of, you know, bite their lip and hold their nose and tolerate it if it sounded kind of objectionable inside the cabin, as long as it sounded awesome outside. You know, it was like everybody cared about how it sounded outside.
Right.
And, you know, for whatever reason, we've become a lot more sensitive to how it sounds inside the cabin. And the challenges of sort of getting rid of drone and other objectionable frequencies is probably the greatest challenge in sound, because if you want to make it loud, just make it louder. You can just take the exhaust system off altogether. You know, it'll be really loud, but it's not going to sound great. So it's really getting rid of the bad stuff that's hard.
I just am reading here that you are also a songwriter and producer, and that you have songs that have appeared in Runaway Bride and Dude, Where's My Car, ABC's X Games. What? I did not know.
Yeah.
All this. I never knew this. What the?
So it's sort of a form of life for me at this point. But, actually the movie Dude, Where's My Car,
right?
Interestingly enough, it's a car related movie. I wrote the opening song, the theme song for that movie, and performed it as well. It's also the whole out section of the movie. And then, one of my songs appeared in, Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
And the whole intro for the Talladega Race in 1999 was my song. So I do have a musical background, and that's really come in handy with exhaust design. And one of the reasons I've been able to develop patents is because of stuff that I learned in the studio. I got a chance to record with some of the greatest producers of all time. And, you know, I just learned a lot about shaping sound and balancing sound, and it's really come in handy in this career.
That is so awesome. See, now it all comes together because you guys really are tuning, for many of us, a musical instrument that we cannot wait to hear. My Jeep is a brand new vehicle. The one I bought, I don't know where it went, but when I put the Borla exhaust on, it changed the entire the mojo of the vehicle. I love it, love it, love it. Don't go anywhere. One more segment with David Borla, my friend. American-made products, made in the USA, a family business. This is just good stuff. Check it out. Go to Borla.com and pick your vehicle and listen to the difference. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com. All the cars, one search.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. And if you want to find out what champions use on their brakes and why they're so proud of it, go to buybrembo.com and put some on your car. Brembo. David Borla is joining me, longtime friend. And his dad was on my show when he was on the very first show when I went from Motor Trend to Car and Driver in Los Angeles, and I asked him to come into the studio, Alex Borla. He comes in, and we had the absolute blast. And what I loved about your dad, by the way, and I still love about your dad, he is not afraid to say anything. He just says what he's got on his mind. And you know what it takes? An entrepreneur. I work with Entrepreneur Magazine. When you're an entrepreneur, man, you got to believe in what you do. And so your dad is a man of conviction. I'll tell you that. But
he is an entrepreneur. He really has that spirit.
No question about it. And you go from the music industry to the muffler industry, which is, I think, awesome. But, you know, we were talking about my Jeep, you know, V6. But now they have a V8 392 Rubicon, right? And you have vehicles like, and I have one sitting at Shelby, a GT500 Mustang. And You said it. The industry has changed so much. And then here comes these electric cars, which that's a whole nother story. But it's changed so much that they're doing such a better job. I was so pleased when I put this exhaust system on my Jeep because it gave it a new personality. How can you do that for like this Wrangler Rubicon 392 with 470 horsepower, whatever it is, and the GT500 Mustang? Don't they now today, and I guess the answer is no, otherwise you wouldn't be in business, you would think that they would be smart enough to really, really do something special with the exhaust. But you guys continue to just take it to the next level.
You know, I think it comes down to the spirit of modifying. You know, and I have these conversations a lot with platform engineers, you know, at GM and other OEs that we work with, because behind the scenes, they feel sort of invalidated when somebody puts an aftermarket product on the vehicle.
Right.
And, you know, they do an excellent job developing exhaust systems. So I think, you know, to a certain extent, it's not necessarily whether or not it's better. It's just different, you know. And so the conversation I have with them is, if you make it square, we'll make it round. If you make it white, we'll make it black. If you make it black, we'll make it white, you know. And people just want something different. So there's, you know, since the 50s, there's been this sort of spirit of modification. And so no matter how great it sounds or what it sounds like, you know, our job is to come up with something different, something to sort of personalize your vehicle and make it like yours. At the end of the day, they make 50,000 or 100,000 of the same vehicles. They all sound the same. And some guys want to personalize them. And that's what we do. So I don't even, you know, diminish anybody else's product. We're really proud of what we do.
Yeah, great answer. Absolutely great answer. You chip off the old block, you're an entrepreneur too. By the way, David is Vice President of Sales and Marketing, including international and domestic business and development. Talk about your international business. I didn't even think about that.
it's just we're really fortunate to have a brand that people want, you know, and so we have distributors all over the world that jump through hoops and bend over backwards to be able to distribute our parts. And you'd be surprised how much interest there is in American car culture all over the world. And American cars are all over the world. And because we have such great brand association and we're so fortunate to have the brand equity that we have, you know, it spills over to overseas. And we're actually growing at a greater rate internationally than we are domestically even.
That's wild.
So it's been a great success for us.
Yeah, because they didn't know what they didn't know, which is Borla exists.
Yeah, yeah. Also, what's great about what we do is that it really comes down to word of mouth. You know, yeah. Car guys talking to each other, getting together in a parking lot someplace or a gas station or even online and talking about what they've done, how they've modified it. I mean, there are millions of those conversations going on all the time, and it's a lot of fun to be part of it.
Well, all right. In the last moment here, just want to acknowledge, I'm reading this, your parents built a business from nothing with very little resources. You know, the challenges they faced. Your dad came as an immigrant. He came as a refugee. I love the story of your dad. I love your dad. I love your family. I never got to really know your mom all that much. Someday I still want to, you know, because
she's the wizard behind the curtain.
I never could get to her. It was hard. It was because she was the marketing person, but that's you now. Anyway, that's too funny. Anyway, God bless them all and you. And thank you so much for having a business that really does give us car crazy people a chance and an opportunity to be different, to have our vehicles sound different and do something that resonates. I know that's a word that you guys use in the exhaust.
It is.
But it resonates with our hearts. You know what I mean? So thank you, David.
Yeah, something about sound, you know, just brings out emotion. It connects you to the vehicle. And, you know, thank you, Alan, for giving us the chance to talk about it. And thanks to all the car guys out there. We got to stick together. You know, this is a fun thing we got going. And, you know, we get up every day and try to keep it happening. So
absolutely. Borla.com. Seriously, check your car out on their website. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back. Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com. All the cars, one search.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, hour two starts out with a bang with BJ Colleen. Hi, BJ. Where you been?
Hey, I have been in Texas at Bronco Off Rodeo.
OMG. And you probably can't talk about any of it yet.
I actually can a little bit.
Oh, okay. We'll do that in the latter part of the segments here, because I know you want to talk about this Hyundai Tucson, the 2022 Hyundai Tucson that is like, there's all these TV commercials. They have kind of a new little funny thing. I want to talk about that they're doing as well. But I saw something about this. What'd you call it? It's the Bronco. What is it called?
Off Rodeo.
It's pretty smart.
Great name.
Yeah. Yep. And so many people want to know about the new Bronco, and we're getting dribs and drabs and dribs and drabs. But when I hear it from you, you know, the announcer says real world test drives. To me, you're the real world. These other guys, you know, I mean, they're kind of, you know, they specialize in this, and they go, sometimes they dive too deep on some of the conversations that they're having. It's like, first of all, let's just talk about it as a vehicle, so on and so forth. And then let's get into the meat a little bit better as we go. And so you and I'm, you know, it's like this Hyundai Tucson you're going to talk about. I've been wondering about this, and you've driven it, right?
Absolutely. And we're talking the 2022 Hyundai Tucson.
Right.
This is the first 22 model year one I've driven, so it's kind of cool. Is that right? I think so. It's hard to keep track sometimes, but you know, Hyundai is doing so well. They really are a shining star. You know, when you think back of what they started with the vehicles and how far they've come, it really is impressive. And the Hyundai Tucson, this is their best-selling model worldwide, which says a lot about the vehicle. Very popular. It's their third generation. It's built at the Montgomery, Alabama plant, which is really nice. And did you get a chance to go to the Montgomery plant, Alan?
You know, I never did, but they just brought me a Oldsmobile that's made in China. So it's so funny because we're going all the way to China to make vehicles in Mexico. I guess Ford's now going to start building cars and things in Mexico again. And those guys over there are building cars in America. What is going on? But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, but they also just came out, I think today, they said they're going to invest another $7 billion in the United States. So, I mean,
Hyundai.
You can feel good about buying a Hyundai vehicle.
Yeah.
So it's Hyundai and Kia together. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting, but the Tucson is actually sold around the world, but only the U.S. and Canada get a longer wheelbase version because I don't know if we all have big butts and we all have to need more room to sit in them, I guess, but we're getting extra space.
Well,
that's
extra, for sure, right?
3.5 long wheelbase. We're getting 6 inches longer overall, a little bit wider and higher, which actually makes for a very nice interior. But the exterior is real edgy looking. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. I posted some pictures on the Facebook page, but there's a lot of sharp angles and creases. And first you're like, oh, that's a little too much. But it grows on you over time, which to me really is the sign of a good design, that you always find something else new to like and look at when you're checking it out. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It has a very strong fascia, integrated lights. And again, I really like it. What do you think of the exterior?
Well, it's funny because I had the same first initial reaction. And then, I'm watching these commercials they have. It's like, how do you put something in front of somebody's face but hide it? Whatever, you know. It's like, you know, I'm like, what are you talking about? What is this commercial, you know? But here's what it is. It catches your attention because now you're looking for that, what do they call that, Easter egg, right? Now, what are they talking about? I'm looking at the vehicle. And I guess it has to do with what you're talking about in the headlights and the lighting that's part of the grill. And I had the same initial reaction. I'm like, and then I went, wait a minute. It doesn't look too bad, but I want to see one. See, you've driven it. I haven't even seen one in the wild yet. I haven't seen one on the road. I'm just seeing them on photographs and you know, television commercials. But my initial reaction was, and then I went, oh, wait a minute. It actually does kind of look good because when you see the different angles. So my opinion is going to be held until I get my big butt in that seat. Thank you very much.
It's a comfortable seat, too. you know, there's four models of the Tucson. There's a gas, a hybrid, a PHEV, which is a plug-in hybrid, and the N-Line, which is the sport performance look. But it's cool because they really build these platforms to be ready for anything. And they said it's ready for a full battery electric vehicle. It's ready for fuel cell EV. So manufacturers, not just Hyundai, but manufacturers getting smart with this platform architecture, you know, the way they build these things to go for many, many different vehicles. And I love it.
Well,
before we get into it, I know we have to take a break.
Yeah.
Right? So let's do that. And then we'll talk a little bit more about pricing on the other side.
Yeah, for sure. Also, by the way, my daughter and son-in-law bought the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid. And I said, so do you still love it? And she goes, one tank of gas in 950 miles. I mean to tell you, that is a testament right there. When you can drive a pretty good sized minivan, which is really not mini, and get 950 miles because it's a plug-in. They just plug it in at night. Love that stuff. We'll take a break. And these architectures we're talking about, you can have all-wheel drive, two-wheel drive, hybrid, whatever you want. They're really getting good at engineering. These automakers are doing a great job. This is The Drive. BJ and I will be right back.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And thanks to Brembo Brakes for sponsoring our show. Buybrembo.com is their website if you want to see what I'm talking about. Check it out. Brembo, the choice of champions. BJ Colleen is here, and we're talking about the 2022 all-new Hyundai Tucson. BJ's been behind the wheel. Going to ask you a little bit about pricing before we go into the test drive stuff, because this is the meat and potatoes, I think, for the smaller, you know, family-friendly SUVs and crossover vehicles for the entire industry. This is the size right here.
Absolutely, and it plays in a really competitive segment. You're talking the CR-V from Honda and Toyota RAV4 and Ford Escape. I mean, very established.
Yeah, Nissan Rogue. Tucson.
Nissan Rogue, absolutely. Tucson's been holding its own. They're doing a really good job. But I'm telling you, when it comes to value, it is almost impossible to beat this brand and this company. The Tucson starts at $24,950 for the SE front-wheel drive, and the limited hybrid all-wheel drive is $37,350. And I'm telling you, inside this vehicle, it's just so many features. Even on the SE, I mean, the SE comes really nicely equipped with 17-inch wheels and tires, remote keyless entry. It's got wireless Apple CarPlay. It's got so much more. And then the standard safety features, really, I don't know anybody else who can beat it. And then the Limited has as many features as an SUV that costs twice as much. And you know, I've got my Lincoln Corsair that I drive. That was probably another $6,000 as the Limited on the Tucson, and doesn't even have half the features. So I'm driving this vehicle. We did the press launch in Tucson, and all the time I'm driving it going, this might just be my next vehicle. I mean, it was really that nice. They just did a great job. And the cargo capacity is up another 10 cubic feet than the previous model, and it beats that CR-V, RAV4, and Escape, which, you know, everybody's always looking for room, and that's a big plus. So I started driving in the hybrid, and after a while, I looked down, and I was getting 51 miles per gallon in steady state driving, which is
awesome.
Amazing.
Right.
You know, so it's a big deal. The seats are really comfortable. They're supportive. The steering wheel, I really liked it. And sometimes things as simple as a steering wheel, if they're too big, and I love BMW M vehicles, the sport models, but the steering wheels are so big that my hands are fatigued after driving them a long time. But the steering wheel in the Tucson had so many different places you could put your hands. It was really nice. The sport mode, when you put it in a hybrid, it just scoots. You're like, this doesn't even feel like a hybrid vehicle. If you didn't notice it, the fuel economy just felt like a regular gas model.
Right.
And performance-wise, the gas model has a 2.5-liter 4 with an 8-speed automatic transmission, 187 horsepower, 178 pound-feet of torque. The hybrid has a 1.6-liter, obviously made it to a small battery in the hybrid vehicle, but that gets 226 combined horsepower. So it really is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a quiet interior, tons of sound deadening in there. And then after lunch, I switched into the gas model, and I was just as impressed with the gas model, but I didn't get the fuel economy. I think I was getting in the low 30s, which, you know, is pretty good, but it wasn't that 50 in the 40s I was used to seeing. And I guess you get used to wanting to save money, especially now, you know, what's going on with fuel prices, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a whole other, we should talk about that because, you know, one day it's not good to have a pipeline. Next day, pipeline's a good idea, you know. But, you know, it's funny, though. My daughter, she says she was getting 54 miles to the gallon with her hybrid Chrysler Pacifica. And my son-in-law, he chimes in. He says, yeah, you'd have got even more had you not taken those 3 trips to Costco, which is 50 miles round trip. And, you know, and she goes, yeah, but I went all the way there on electric, right? And so if Costco had, I don't know if some probably do, had plug-ins, she could plug in while she's in there for an hour and probably get enough to almost make it back home on electric. And then you put your credit card in and you pay for it. What's it going to cost you? $2? And so this hybrid stuff is really getting advanced. I personally am really digging it. And it's because of the cost of gasoline again right now. But I think also for young families that can plug in and take advantage of the low price of our electricity these days and what you can do with your vehicle running around town. My daughter doesn't go very far. Costco's probably the farthest she goes. Everything else she does on electricity. That's why she had one tank of gas, 950 miles, which is, I think it's just fantastic. So yeah. All right, let's take a break. Gosh, all I can say is that this is a real world test drive because BJ she's the one. She brings all the information to the table. Thank you for that, BJ. We'll take a little break. You're listening to The Drive. We'll be right back.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback gives you state-of-the-art active safety technology for extra confidence on every drive. You can count on the roomy comfort and impressive cargo space, standard raised roof rails with enhanced tie-down points, and Subaru Starlink multimedia with an 11.6-inch high-resolution touchscreen to wrap your experience with love for your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Outback. Go where love takes you. Subaru, thanks for the sponsorship. So, BJ's driving this 2022 Hyundai Tucson. Beginning price, a starting price, I should say, is around $24,000, fully decked out, loaded with everything, $37,000. Nice vehicle, good fuel economy, I think, no matter what. But the funny thing you said there, that, and I just want to touch on this, is that the gasoline engine model, the non-hybrid model, has a bigger engine, right? But the smaller engine with the hybrid and the electric boost combined gives you more horsepower and makes it faster. So that's a performance plus that people forget about with these things.
Yeah, and it's really impressive because they made the hybrid with the 6-speed automatic transmission. So you're not getting any of that whine that you would from a CVT. So I like that they do that as well. So yeah, that's a big plus. But I'm telling you, it's a very composed vehicle all the way around. Nothing's throwing you around. The suspension is really nicely pegged. They did a good job with that. The more I drove it, the more I really, like I said, considering it as my next vehicle. It has a good capacitive touchscreen. There's no glare that gets in the way. Even with my polarized glasses, I had no problem. You really swear you're in a much more expensive vehicle. But my favorite feature, it's kind of silly, but it's called the multi-air mode. And they have really thin vents for the air distribution. But it all comes out the vents at the same time. But it's just a nice smooth flow. So you don't have that blast of air coming out of these giant, you know, air vents for you. So they just really thought about the passengers. And it's got cool ambient lighting. And my only nitpick, and I've said it before, is I don't like the blind spot view monitor where you have the camera in the screen. And, you know, that shows you what's going on the sides, because I think it's a little distracting, at least to me. But people like it. I'm sure they'll get used to it. We'll be using cameras for everything. But, you know, on a scale of 10, this is like a 9.85. I mean, it really, really was an impressive vehicle. So
I can't wait to get behind the wheel. I mean, this is the right size vehicle for the marketplace today. Hyundai Tucson. Are they available at dealers quite yet?
I believe so. You can build in price, and I think they're starting to get them in right now. So there is a plug-in hybrid. They didn't have it at the press launch. I'd like to drive that one.
Oh, man. I think the plug-in thing is just, it's fantastic. No matter what manufacturer makes it, it's a brilliant idea. All right. Before we go, because I got Stephen Cole Smith, who's going to be talking about motorsports, and a little, he's got some TMZ inside information for us. relationships, you know, we don't normally talk about that, but it's worthy. Bronco Off Rodeo. I played the song "Dirty Little Secret," and I know that you know a little bit about this. Some of it you can talk about, some you can't. But what can you share with us? Everybody's like, they're frothing at the mouth for this Bronco.
Yeah, the Bronco, it's the new Mustang, let's put it that way. I mean, it's totally taken off. Bronco enthusiasts have been around for a long time. But what's nice is because people buy 4x4s and off-road vehicles, but they don't know how to drive them. So Bronco Off-Rodeo really is a brilliant idea, because if you buy a Bronco Sport First Edition or Badlands or any one of the Bronco trims, the big Bronco, you get a chance to go to a location, and there are four locations. Texas is the one that's open right now. There'll be other ones in Nevada and Moab and the Northeast. It's basically a place where you go to learn how to drive Broncos. And they have some ground schools. They tell you a little bit about what's going on with the Bronco Wild Fund. It's a $5 million endowment that Ford's all about preserving the outdoors. And they've got partnerships with a bunch of great companies. And then you do an off-road experience course where you actually learn in a controlled environment how to react and how the technology works. You know, they have a stabilizer bar disconnect and front and rear electronic locking differentials. So you learn how to do that, and then they take you out on the trails. And they feed you a great lunch, and you have a great cookout at the night with some local entertainment. It just is a really nice adventure. And again, the fact that it's included in the price of those two Bronco Sports and the Bronco really is just a big bonus. And you can go online right now it's the dealerships that are going through it, and then pretty soon it's going to be open to all the consumers. You can make a reservation now, but you can go online and type in Bronco Off Rodeo, and you can see some of the footage that the dealers have been taking pictures of. So it's really cool. And I'm not going to talk about Bronco how it drives because the media hasn't had a chance to drive it yet, but some of the people in the videos talk about it, but it's definitely worth checking out. BroncoOffRodeo.com, I believe, is the website.
OffRodeo.com. You know what? I think it's smart because, you know, even with Dodge is one of our sponsors, and they do the same thing with the driving schools and things. You know, we think we're much better drivers than we are. And when you're out just driving around town, it's okay to have that high opinion of yourself. But when you're, you know, up in the mountains and you don't know certain things, like, you know, never turn around on a hill, like you decide, all right, I don't think I can make it to the top, so I'm going ahead and turn around. That's how you end up rolling down the side of the mountain. But there's so many things that you know, you just don't know that you don't know until you go to one of these little schools, and they can teach you this stuff in no time. You can watch some videos, you go out and experience it. The guy stops halfway up the hill and says, by the way, never try and turn around. I learned this the hard way when we were in high school. My friend had a little military, like 1941 or something, military Jeep. It was even painted green. And there was like four guys in the back, no top, no roll bar. And it's all of a sudden it bogged down and got caught up in a bunch of leaves. And he goes, let's turn around. He starts turning around. And the Jeep starts to tip over, and two or three guys like fell out. And then everybody's like holding the thing from rolling over. And I was the guy downhill from the Jeep. It would have rolled right on top of me. Anyway, like I said, you don't know what you don't know. This Bronco Off Rodeo, what we'll call it, a school or whatever it is, brilliant idea, Ford Motor Company. BJ, thank you.
Thank you. I missed you. Hopefully talk to you soon.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, having COVID, no fun. You don't know what you don't know. Now I know.
Right.
All right. We'll be right back with Stephen Cole Smith. He's got some inside information on Leah Pruitt and Tony Stewart. Two racers hooking up. We'll be right back. Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? AutoTempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when AutoTempest.com gives you everything? AutoTempest.com. All the cars, one search.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by AutoTempest.com. AutoTempest.com makes online car shopping easy. With the powerful AutoTempest.com search engine, you can simultaneously search all the top car sites, such as Cars.com, Carvana, True Car, even Hemmings.com and Cars and Bids and many others. So if you're looking for a car because there's a shortage of cars, since there's little problems they're having getting chips and things, there's brand new cars sitting all over the place. But until they get those little semiconductor chips and things like that, they ain't going nowhere. As a matter of fact, I was in my parking lot today, and there was a dealer from about 3 hours away standing there with a brand new GMC truck. He's just standing there, and I go, can I help you? And I go, you looking for something? He goes, yeah, I'm meeting a guy here. He bought a truck from us. And I go, well, that's a beautiful truck. And he goes, yeah, better be for $80,000. And we were just, you know, kind of BSing in the parking lot. And I said, so he came down to you guys 3 hours away, and you're delivering it here? He says, yeah, because... He goes, there aren't any new trucks. He goes, we had a dealer trade to get this from one that was, you know, 600 miles away. And the story was amazing. So thanks to AutoTempest.com for sponsoring our show. And if you're looking for something, this is a great place to look. AutoTempest.com. Now joining us is my buddy, Stephen Cole Smith. And can we just for a moment, Steve writes for Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports, a little car and driver here. And, you know, he's one of these guys that he's lucky. He can kind of place his story where it fits. But I think his newest job is with TMZ. Is that right, Steve? Can I say that? because we're...
Yeah, well, if they would pay me, you could, but they're not. Okay. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know you do. Because, you know, when the auto industry and the motorsporting world starts talking about who's marrying who or who's divorcing who, it's not normal for some of these publications to even want to. But the story about Leah Pruitt and Tony Stewart is too good to not talk about. Because, first of all, if you know who these people are, they're both individually, they're so different than each other. And opposites attract, of course. But this is like, I don't want to insult anybody, so I'm not going to. But this is a bizarre matchup as far as I'm concerned. I love Leah Pruitt. She's a beautiful gal. She's an incredible driver and racer, an incredible person. Tony Stewart, on the other hand, I like him because he just doesn't give a damn what anyone thinks. Now, I like that, but it makes it hard to do interviews with him and things like that. But now Stephen Cole Smith is the guy that probably has the full-on inside scoop because you broke the story on this.
Yeah, I broke the story a couple of months ago that they were dating, and they'd been dating for a while. And there's rumors circulating around June 12th. Now, Tony is saying something big's happening June 12th. We know that she's got a ring, and it is a whopper. So whether or not June 12th is the date, I don't know, but it's going to happen. Tony Stewart's never been married before. He's come close. He's been engaged. Leah has been married, I think, once or twice. But I really like both of them. I've known Tony for a long time. He's probably my best friend of all the race car drivers. He's certainly one of the people that I like the most. And yeah, I guess that's a little TMZ, but you know, we had Courtney Force, a drag racer, marry Graham Rahal,
right, it was all
an IndyCar racer. So I think, you know, why not talk about this drag racer marrying that NASCAR racer?
Right. And, but also you have a little other info. Can you talk about that, about Tony?
Oh, yeah. Tony has decided he wants to drag race. He doesn't necessarily want to be a drag racer, but he wants to go 300 miles an hour. And he's already taken his first ride in Leah Pruitt's Top Fuel Dragster, which is, 326, 330 miles an hour capable. And he said he's not going to quit till he goes 300. He's already made one run. He did it on Facebook Live. It wasn't a full track run. It was one of the little burps that you do of maybe half track, and
right,
you know, the track is 1,000 feet long, so he got up to probably a pretty good couple hundred miles an hour, I guess, but that's nothing for Tony. So yeah, Tony Stewart, he wants to understand what it's like that his future wife, I'm sure, is going through. So Don Schumacher has loaned him a dragster to play with.
Oh my gosh. And isn't his nickname like Smoke or something like that?
Smoke is what they called him when he's entered some races that he probably wasn't supposed to enter based on the fact that he was under NASCAR contract. So he was Smoke Stewart then, and people still call him Smoke.
And am I right about the fact that he just doesn't care what people think about him and he just does his own thing? And I mean, you know him. Like you said, he's your best friend when it comes to this kind of, you know, this you being a journalist, him being a racer. You guys have a great relationship. But I find that he's like Mr. Monotone. He doesn't put on a show for the journalists,
right,
when they're, you know?
Yeah, and that's refreshing to me because sometimes the journalists, the first thing they want to tell you is, you know, how great they're doing and how great their sponsor is,
and
hide all my family and kids at home. Well, that's Tony's really not that way. He's just Tony.
Right.
And he's just like a guy who, you know, happened to do well, but if he hadn't gone any farther than the local Saturday night short track, he'd still be racing there. In fact, he still does race short tracks.
Right.
There's just something about him I like a lot, and I'm happy that he's going to be happy, I think.
Didn't he was also doing a little desert racing there a little bit, wasn't he?
I think he did a little desert racing. Yeah. That's where he and Leah met, was doing some stuff with 10 block out in the middle of nowhere,
right,
where they were doing some desert stuff. And he actually broke his back, I think, doing a four-wheeler out there. That was a couple of years ago.
Good Lord. Well, so the story got broke by Stephen Cole Smith here that they were dating, and now here we are doing the TMZ special, which is talking about, well, this isn't really TMZ. It's not really gossipy. It's the facts. And it's an odd thing when you have a racer that, like you said, he'd never been married. He's a guy that, you know, I mean, she's a social butterfly. She's very good at what she does. And he's the guy that, he's like, I don't care. Who cares? Nah, leave me alone. I don't have time for it. Whatever. He's just the guy that is the opposite. They're total opposites. So it's kind of a fun story. And then when you told me that he was going to do some drag racing, I'm like, no way. This is just too fun. So I've been following it a little bit because I'm friends with Leah because of our connection with Shell Pennzoil, and she races for them. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of fun to watch because it's, I keep thinking to myself, really? Are you kidding me? Because, I mean, he's got to be quite a bit older than her, isn't he?
He's really not that much older than she
really?
Is. She just looks really, really good. Yeah. And she's got him looking good, Alan. He's down like 30 pounds.
Really?
Dressing better. I mean, he's, she's, I told him that he was, let's just say the initials are PW, and he did not disagree with me when I said that.
That's too funny. Because he's been such a schlub, and, you know, throughout his career, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, like you said, he's getting in shape, he's dressing cooler, you know,
tucking his shirts in.
He needed that from you know, somebody like that. You know, I think it's quite fun if you want to know the truth. So congratulations to those two. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about NASCAR's new cars. They finally showed up. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Well, this is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, Stephen Cole Smith joining us, and we're talking about Leah Pruitt. I think she races for Dodge, and I'm sponsored by Dodge, too. So we have this double connection through Shell Pennzoil and Dodge. But now let's move over to where Tony Stewart is best known, NASCAR. The new cars, which will start racing next year. And Stephen Cole Smith has the inside story. What you got, Steve?
Well, one funny thing to mention before that, Stewart Haas Racing, which is Tony's team, not doing that well because Tony's been spending all his time at drag races. So I'm not sure if that has anything to do with it, but they haven't won yet, I don't believe, year. I don't think Kevin Harvick has won. So it's about time for them to get their act together.
Yeah.
They showed the new car. All three manufacturers showed it at the same time, which is not surprising because it's the same car, Alan, except for the engine itself. The car itself, the body is built by a company out of, I believe, either Indiana or Carolina. The car inside, so the frame, the chassis, is built in Michigan. So they're not even doing that. It's got a one-lug wheel on it instead of five lugs, so they're cutting back on pit crew. It's definitely going to be a cost saver for the manufacturers and for the car owners. So there's going to be some people unemployed, which is kind of a shame because there's a lot of car builders out there that their services will no longer be required.
Well, you know, what's sad about that, to me, if you know and look, even if you don't know, but if you just look at the history of NASCAR, it removes, it's like these are all just now, in essence, bars of soap with different graphics on them. And right. and they've, you know, almost why even need a driver at a certain point? And they've already got that kind of going in the electric car racing stuff. It'll be the software engineers. And you know who said that? I was at a Road and Track dinner about 3 or 4 years ago, and he was not popular, but Mario Andretti said that. He said, you know, one of these days, the real winners of the races are going to be the software developers, because there's going to be cars running around the track with no driver, and it's all going to be electronics. And everybody was, you know, this was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago maybe, but Mario Andretti right. and everybody was like, oh, no, don't even talk like that. Why are you bringing that up? And why are you saying such a thing? And he was adamant about what he knew was coming, because, you know, he's on the inside. He's 80 whatever years old, and he knows what's coming, and he was correct. And here we are. It just gets one step closer all the time.
Well, he's right. I mean, IndyCar is already there. It's got the Dallara chassis. Yep. It's got basically one body kit, and you've got a Chevrolet engine and a Honda engine. Other than that, the cars are identical.
Yeah.
And, of course, it is. There is a lot to do with setup. You get to pick your springs or your camber and caster setting, and you get to play in the wind tunnel. And, you know, they're down to – I remember I was going through one of the shaker rigs at Hendrick, which is a rig that they put on there, and it simulates racing for however many hundred miles you want. And he says, we picked the low-hanging fruit a long time ago. We're looking for thousandths of a second now.
Oh,
not seconds,
gosh.
Not half a second, tenth
right.
of a second. They're looking for thousandths of a second.
Gosh. It's just sad to me because, you and I are old enough to remember when there was actually different manufacturers and they were running in real stock cars. And,
right.
you know, here we are today, I'm going to say toward the end of, you know, I guess the life of something called NASCAR, because at some point when they take the driver out of the car, that's next. Because they're going to say it's, you know, the woke are going to say, oh, it's too dangerous, so we don't want people in the car. Well, that's,
right.
that's the end of it. What's left, you know?
Well, you know, we've had professional wrestling for a long time, and everybody knows exactly what that is, but it's as popular now as it ever was.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's still some way to convince people that the Ford is a Ford, the Chevy is a Chevy, and a Toyota is a Toyota. And they are going to get some more manufacturers, I'm pretty sure, because they're making it so easy for them. Once they go to hybrid powertrains, which they'll probably do in 2023, along with IMSA, it's going to be a lot easier for engine manufacturers to bring their engines in, and then the rest of the car is already made for you. You don't need to worry about, you know, Nissan doesn't worry about designing a car. The car's already designed. It's already there. It's already done. All you got to do is cobble together an engine that's rated. I think they're 500 and 700 horsepower, somewhere around there. Anybody can do that. I mean, any engine manufacturer can do it. So we're going to see some new companies coming in, but it's not really going to be a Nissan. It's not really going to be a Honda.
It's going to be a graphics wrap. We'll take a break.
Right.
Stephen Cole Smith, one more segment. This is The Drive.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And don't forget, if you're shopping for a car, online shopping made much easier with AutoTempest.com. Again, you can search all the top sites like Carvana, Cars.com, True Car, even Hemmings and Cars and Bids, and many others. AutoTempest.com. Stephen Cole Smith joining us, and we were talking a little motorsports and stuff like that. But I got to tell you, since COVID hit, I've been spending much more time around my property. And I know, Steve, you've been doing the same thing. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But we were talking about, you know, these, you know, just all the motorsports stuff and how, you know, it's not going to be a Nissan. It's going to be, you know, it's not going to be a Ford. It's not going to, well, maybe parts of it are going to be. But I went in to buy, and this is completely obscure, but this is how weird things are. I went in to buy a new lawnmower the other day, and I wanted one of those zero turn things, you know, with the, you know, not a steering wheel, but it's got like two handles on it. And my son-in-law got one, and he got a really good one. He got a Cub Cadet, which I've seen commercials. I'm not a lawnmower guy. I got people that cut my yard. But I thought, I've been home so much, I think I can cut my own yard. I'm like, yeah. And I'm putting more yard in now. So I thought, I'm going to get me one of these suckers, and I'm ready to really buy a good one. Of course, they had 0% financing for 3 years and warranty for, you know, bumper to bumper. There's no bumpers on these things. But 3 years for the whole thing. I'm looking at this. I go, well, I can get free money, no interest. And so I go, you know what? I'll take the best one. Give me that one right over there. Sucker was really expensive. That's all I can tell you. But I said, what engine is in this thing? And he goes, well, it's got a Kohler 2-cylinder, really good engine. And so I look at the one I'm standing next to, and I flip the lid on it, and it says like Yamaha. And I go, wait a minute, I thought you said it has a Kohler. He goes, no. He goes, well, that one has a Kohler. That one has a Yamaha. They also use Briggs & Stratton. They use this and that. And I'm like, well, what makes it a Cub Cadet? I mean, they don't make their own engines. They just use somebody else's power plant. And we had this big discussion about, yeah, you know, because they buy them in bulk and they make some big deal with Yamaha or whoever it is, or Kohler. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, this is where we're getting. Is it's like everything gets made now by the bean counters, right? And I said, here's what I want. I said, you guys service these things. I want to speak to your mechanic in back before I buy one of these. He goes, all right, hold on. I'll bring him up. Here comes, honestly, he looks like he came from Lord of the Rings. Beard down to his belly button, you know, mustache down to his, you know, about the same length, and long hair, and he's about 5'6". Here comes this funny looking dude, seriously. And he's got, you know, the typical red rag, and he's wiping his hands. He goes, what do you need, boss? And he says, our guy wants to talk to you. I said, do me a favor. Come with me and go for a walk. I want to walk over here and I want to show you. I said, Yamaha, Kohler, Briggs & Stratton. I said, do me a favor and just nod to the one you think I should get. I said, because I'm a car guy. I don't want to buy something and bring it in here every couple of months having something fixed. I go, tell me which one is the best one. And he nods to the one that had the Kohler engine, which is good. He goes, that one right there, that one's bulletproof. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm so glad that I've lived so many years in this industry. But when you buy lawnmowers, it's like I felt like a fish out of water for a few minutes, and it was kind of fun. So then I had to kind of, you know, roll back a little bit and go, you know, I remember talking to the mechanic, talk to the car lot, the kid who's washing the cars, the body man that, you know, the cars had some paint work. I want to see pictures of it, all the little things that I used to do. But I got to tell you, funnest thing I've ever done, driving these hydrostatic transmissions. And you can mow at 10 miles an hour, Steve. Think of that.
Yeah, I do mow at 10 miles an hour. I've got a hydrostatic transmission in my awesome. John Deere. And I am a Briggs & Stratton man from way back. I mean, 50,
That's
60
funny.
Years ago.
That's
they still sound the same. They still look the same. And you know what the next thing I'm going to do? I'm sending you a bright green t-shirt.
Oh, because you got a John Deere.
No. If you're going to be driving around in a zero-turn mower, you got to dress like a guy who drives a zero-turn mower, and that he's wearing a lime green t-shirt.
You know what I did? I went and cut the sleeves off a t-shirt with a pair of, you know, scissors to where it was really uneven. And, you know, and I got to tell you, my neck is so red right now. I am a redneck, baby. My wife's like putting lotion on the back of my neck going, oh, doesn't that hurt? I'm going, no, it feels good. I love it. Give me some chew.
I hear you, buddy.
I just thought I'd add that little bit in there because, you know, the grass is growing. It's spring moving into summer, and Boy, get out there. You know what? Get out there and mow your yards, people. There is some peace of mind in that. Stephen Cole Smith, I love you. Thank you very much, sir.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Me and Steve are going to go mow our yards now. All right. We'll see you guys all next week. Same time, same channel. It is The Drive.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-Mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models.